the more that we can communicate and like share our stories when appropriate helps the whole, everyone heal. And, you know, maybe it will get to a point where not so many people are going through this because we can see things a lot clearer.
Welcome to the Juggling the Chaos of Recovery podcast, where we focus on health, wellness, and overcoming all types of addictions. You're in the right place if you're a mom, dad, friend, sibling, or caregiver who has a loved one who is or was struggling with an eating disorder or any other kind of addiction. In a time when everything seems heavy, I'm here to bring you a real yet lighthearted take on what the heck we are all supposed to do with our lives while we care for our loved ones who are struggling. One thing holds true throughout it all. You can't juggle the chaos without smiling, at least a little bit. All right. Well, welcome to another episode of the podcast, Juggling the Chaos of Recovery. I'm your host, Moira Gorski. So glad you're here and excited again today because I have another special guest to bring to you. And I'm always excited to have my friends come and share their words of wisdom and all that they have to offer. So today we have Dr. Katie, as I call her. So Dr. Katie Borchert, she is an acupuncturist, and I met her through a friend of mine who I knew in a networking group. I guess that's where we'll keep it with Mindy. I met Dr. Katie through Mindy, and she did live in Illinois here for a while, but currently she lives now in Arizona. And so welcome, Katie. And then I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you. Me too.
And let me read her bio to you because it's pretty awesome. So Katie began her natural healing studies when she started her yoga practice almost 20 years ago. From there, she became extremely conscious of how the body reacts when it is out of balance. This culminated in receiving her master's in Oriental medicine and naturopathic doctor degree in 2013 from the National University of Health Sciences, in Illinois. She built up her practice in the western Chicago suburbs over 6 years before moving to Prescott Valley, Arizona with her family for a new adventure. She now practices both in Illinois and Arizona. I get to see her when she comes back to Illinois every once in a while. She works with all people from infants to the very aged, getting great results with acupuncture, cupping, and plant-based medicine. It's unique to be able to offer a style of medicine that both reduces acute and chronic pains and also tonifies the entire person to promote overall healing and longevity. She lives a naturopathic lifestyle with regular meditation, yoga, and qigong, gardening, hiking in nature, consuming a raw plant-based diet, resting, and really connecting with the body for optimal health and well-being. This is done with a diligence to better serve her clients. So again, thanks for joining me today. It's great to have you here, Katie.
Yeah, it's nice to see you again.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell us, you don't really have a specific, you know, recovery story, but you shared with me a couple of things that I thought were, as you said, were kind of in like pivot points in your life, as you were learning and growing up and things like that, that kind of, if you didn't pivot, you know, away from those particular things, then maybe your life would have looked differently. So, again, I think that there's many times that, you know, people will have a point in time where, like when they look back, they say, well, boy, if I had maybe just done a little bit differently or taken a different turn, my life would have looked differently. So why don't you share a little bit of what you shared with me about kind of the food aspect and the drinking aspect?
Sure. So probably the first real pivotal thing was moving from Wisconsin to Illinois, where in Wisconsin, I was a landscaper, a bartender. I was in my 20s. We were going out very socially all the time. And there was some trouble with that. And the opportunity came for me to move to Illinois to start medical school. And I jumped on that. Like, I was ready to get married, and we did get married, but I still was like, you know, this, I'm doing this. And that was very important for me to just take myself out of that scene and put myself in a brand new place with new people, and especially people who were, you know, very health minded. And so that just gave me this big, like, shiny gold thing to go after and to put all my attention to, and I did. And yeah, looking back, it's like my life would be a lot different had I stayed in Wisconsin. Even if I wasn't drinking, it still would be. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be eating the same way. I wouldn't be exercising the same way. I wouldn't be as mindful with myself, more than likely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So that's great. And again, you're now practicing acupuncture along with some other things. So can you give us kind of like a Reader's Digest version of kind of acupuncture and why it's so wonderful as a healing modality?
Yes. So the very simple thing that it does is help the movement of all of the fluids in the body and the energy. So we always call the energy qi, which is something kind of indescribable, but we can definitely feel it and can't really measure it with a device or anything like that. But you can see qi in people. Like, you know, I can look at Moira's face and her eyes and it's clear and she's got great qi and like great spirit coming through that. And like, we know this inherently when we look at people. So, and then blood and lymph would be some of the other like major fluids. And whenever anything happens in the body that causes a constriction and these things don't move, it causes discomfort and then eventually we'll get to pain. And usually pain is where people start to notice and then they start going to the doctor and treating this. So putting the needles in along meridians, it's like blocks on like a river. So it's like you're opening things and then all the flow can happen. So that relieves the pain. Like that's the simplest thing. But we all know like we feel better with flow. Like if you're constipated, you usually don't feel too good until after you have a bowel movement. When you're a woman and you're like waiting for your period to come, you know that like there's a point where you're going to feel better once that starts to flow. So like we know this as well. That's a very general way. Like that's even like someone could put needles along a meridian and just help without really thinking about the internal organs. As you get more like training and specific with things, the needles will tap into and connect to the internal organs. And all of those internal organs have a spirit, like in a different spiritual function. So it really helps on so many different levels. The physical level with just making the structure and the person feel better. The spiritual level of like coming to a place where you can start treating yourself differently and treating your health differently. And then even the mental level of like feeling clearer in your thinking. And it all helps because like the things in the body are moving to where they should be and how they should be. And it's gentle and effective and it doesn't interfere with medication or herbs or supplements or surgery even really. So it's a really awesome procedure or treatment, I should say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always am fascinated on how you know really where to put the needle. And
I kind of am too, because I can feel it. Like the points are there in the body. And I remember as a student, and even I have taught quite a few acupuncture point location classes, like the novice hand doesn't really know. And that they're like doing everything by measurement. Whereas like I can just run my hand up and I'll feel a little divot or a little tightness. And like, those are the points. So I don't have to keep them memorized as much.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's probably come with time and training that you really, you know, you can really sense where you need to put the needles. And yeah. I mean, I know when I've had treatment from you, you've said like, if the needle just hurts a little bit, right, when it goes in, then that's the right place that it's supposed to be at. Right.
More than likely. And that's like a really good sign that that point is connected to like the major imbalance in the body. I've gotten pretty good now where most of the points don't hurt, but usually there's one on everybody. And then it's like, oh, well, that one correlates to your low back or that's your liver. And then it helps people to realize like the signs that are within their own body too. Mm-hmm. So I like that. Mm-hmm. I don't like inflicting pain, but I like when we can notice something and talk about it.
Right. Well, and I think that's what's cool about it is like just what you said, like we could have lower back pain, but it could be related to some other type of congestion or blockage, right? In another mm-hmm. part of the body, or, I mean, you know that better than me, but mm-hmm. it's just, it's very fascinating to hear that when someone will say, oh, my shoulder hurts. Well, maybe that's because of this that's going on with you mentally, or perhaps, you know, physically inside your body, then it's manifesting itself in your shoulder. I don't know. It's, yes. I think it's fascinating. And and pretty cool and don't always understand it, but it's really neat to be able to go to a practitioner who, you know, understands that it can help, help kind of pull it all together for you. You know, we talk on this podcast about kind of chaos and juggling chaos in our lives. And so I would just ask you that question. If you feel like you've had any time in your life that's been particularly chaotic, feel like you're kind of juggling things, and, you know, what helped you during that time if you did have some chaos?
Sure. There's always chaos around the transitions. So yeah, the move here that was chaotic is juggling practicing in Illinois and then trying to get all of my licenses in Arizona, which took much longer than I ever anticipated. So I was like really freaking out actually, because of like my source of income was 1,000 miles away. And so I kept, like, I was so open to anything. I would say yes to any job. But also in that time with having this openness, I had time to take care of myself and I could really come into the things that were important to me with self-care. So the yoga was huge, being outside, just even kind of taking the time to do nothing. Like, a lot of my life leading up to this point has been very, very active. So just to be able to sit in the backyard in the sunshine with my chickens and watch them and think about planting an orchard back there, like that, those were all really helpful to me in that transition. Eating well has always been important. I think if I didn't eat the way that I did, I probably would be like a lot sicker. Like, I don't really get like seasonal illnesses. I kind of sound like it now, but Prescott is actually like a high allergy capital of the world. So I'm getting used to that. But so yeah, eating well, and even like using that as a source of structure, I guess, without taking it too far, because I've been down that road with counting the calories and really like micromanaging my food. But like, knowing that I had the skill and I knew how to concoct good meals and that they were nourishing to me, and just like having confidence in that and taking the time to do that.
Well, and I love how you say you're just like, you're resting or you're just like doing nothing. I think that it's so, that's just so hard for us to do and to feel like, and to feel like that that's okay. Right.
I still struggle with it. I tell people this all the time. Like, you need time for yourself and you need to probably just do nothing. And then I have, you know, 2-3 hours and it's like, okay, what can I get done? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, you're supposed to not do anything.
Right.
That's the point.
Yeah, I know. But I think we're just so trained to have every minute of our lives filled with something. And, you know, if we don't, then again, we don't feel like we're, you know, accomplishing what we're supposed to accomplish. It's, you know, we're lazy, we're unproductive, whatever. But I love, you know, I love that too when I've been to Arizona or just, you know, when you go on vacation and you go sit outside. And like you said, you look at the, you know, dream about the orchard, or you look at the water and just spend some time just doing nothing. It's so nourishing for the soul. Yeah. And how are those chickens? You still have all those chickens?
I do. Yeah. They've ramped up their egg laying this week, actually.
Wow.
So, yeah. It's dramatic.
Do you still have, like, what, you have seven?
Seven. Yeah.
Seven.
Everybody made it out here just fine. There was a little bit of a mental breakdown with one of them, but within a couple of days, everybody was okay.
That's good.
They love it. Like, we have a bigger piece of land, and so they're not jumping the fence to go into anyone else's yard. So
that's good.
Yes, because everybody has 5 dogs, so
they're
pretty safe.
Yeah, that's good. That's awesome. Yeah.
Thanks.
I kind of forgot about that with you with your chickens. Yeah. So I always ask people. Well, actually, before I get there, I do, because you mentioned Qigong, and I don't really know. I know what yoga is, and I know what regular meditation is because I do both of those, and they're so important to me. But what exactly is Qigong?
Right, Qigong, and there's a lot of different forms, but the literal translation would be like your energy work, and it's the energy work that you're doing on yourself. You can do Qigong just sitting in a chair, not moving at all. Like, you can go through certain meditations that would be considered that. mostly when I do it, there's some physical movement. It's usually more like standing poses. If you're moving at all, it's like real soft with the arms and pretty slow and controlled. You're focusing on the microcosmic orbit, so a circulation of breath from your lower dantian, like all the way up your spine and around down through your mouth, and you're always flowing that. You're connecting through the crown of your head into the universe, down through your spine. So there's a lot of like different things involved. It's loosely should resemble martial arts in a way. Like some of the poses will have like a blocking or like a swooping something. There is medical qigong, which like using poses and sounds to really hone in on internal organs. And I will prescribe that to people every once in a while. I just started taking a class that's called Vibration, where we do like a lot of hitting the belly and like even like kind of just bouncing and shaking. And but we also do some of the more traditional Qigong, and I really am enjoying that. And I guess what I will say about Qigong is that's what I have to turn to when I injure myself, usually in yoga, because like I've torn a few hamstrings in yoga, and then I have to stop yoga and then go into Qigong mode, where that's pretty much my main form of movement, aside from like gentle walking. So to me, it's like safer in a sense, although there's a way to do Qigong that's completely unsafe, and it can like really like kind of rev you up too much for like the end of the day, and it just wears on the heart after a while.
Did you see the movie, what was it called? The Farewell?
No.
Did you see that? It's a recent movie about a family, and the grandmother got sick, got a diagnosis of cancer, and they decided not to tell her. Instead, they decided to put on a kind of a fake wedding, bring all the family together, and it's a really cool movie because she did. It's that power of positive thinking and positive thought, and if you're not thinking that you're sick, then perhaps you're not going to be sick.
Right.
And you know, she survived many years. But anyway, in that movie, they have something like where they're moving, and like she is doing that. The grandmother, she's doing some kind of like pushing the, like you know, saying a sound or something, and like pushing the negative stuff out. Or because I think that's Qigong, right?
Yeah, I want to say that happens a lot, even in my class. It's just different because this woman who teaches the class, she's Italian, but she speaks everything almost in Korean. So she's got like some real interesting training. And then all my Qigong teachers were Chinese or American actually. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like you're looking for like the areas of stagnation or the turbid energy. And you can do that with your breath, like ha, and get it out. Or you can visualize like the gray turbid energy leaving. So there is a lot of that happening. There's a lot of drawing in like the cosmic energy to your lower dantian, which is below your belly button, and just like holding it in there and making that big ball of energy so strong. And a lot of just like care for the joints, like the small joints, like getting into your wrists and ankles and making sure your meridians are open. It's good. I always feel
pretty
great
cool
after doing that. Yeah. I mean, I feel great after yoga, but yoga becomes to me like too much like exercise and like getting something accomplished, and Qigong is much more like taking care, like I don't know, nourishing myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's my perspective that I bring to yoga too. Other people don't do that. Like it's just me.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, that's a good way to look at it, you know, and plus your yoga practice, I've seen your yoga practice. It's pretty intense sometimes.
Yeah. That's why I don't do that every day.
Right. So yeah, I always ask people, because I love to read and have forever a growing pile of books by my bed. So are there any books that you've read that have really helped you, or any books that you're reading now that you'd like to tell the audience about?
Yes. Okay. So the book that was very instrumental to me, The Survival Guide in the 21st Century. It's like a bright pink book, and there's actually like you can color in it. There's these really pretty pictures and you can color in it, but it goes through everything from like fasting to eating fruits, to eating raw, to yoga, to iridology, to raising a family with this like natural based mentality. It goes through different religions, like physiology. And there's certain parts that were just rather wild with, like, you know, being a breatharian or a fruitarian or successfully ending your menstrual cycle while still being fertile. And I was just beginning med school, so I'm like, this stuff is whack and didn't really think anything of it. But then as I reread it now, and like, wow, this is some really enlightened information. So I'm glad that I read that at such a point where I was not very skeptical of it. And now I can come back and, you know, there's some merit behind some of this. Mm-hmm. That, and then the book that I am reading currently is Self-Care, the Paidala Jin. It's slapping and stretching. So it ties right in with that Qigong and smacking the meridians and removing the blockages and purging the energy.
Mm. Yeah. Wow. That sounds interesting.
Yes.
Yeah. But I really do. I believe that there's so much that we can learn and about, again, energy and blocked energy and illness and mental illness. And just, again, I think I know from my own experience, you know, I can be my worst. I can be the person that's standing in my own way. And I think that that can be energetically and as well. So really cool. And then as we wrap this up, you know, our audience is parents, caregivers who, friends who have someone who's struggling in front of them with a, you know, with a disorder, with a mental illness, with a addiction. And then there's hopefully people listening that have been on their own recovery journey or have recovered or just are interested in this. So what would you say to them, you know, that's really, that, you know, you'd like them to take away from what you've learned in your life and you feel it's really important?
Sure. The first thing, so if you're helping somebody through a recovery process, make sure that you're taking care of yourself so that you have your reserves to help another person. You know, sometimes we feel like this need to just love them so much and care for them so much that everybody needs time to themselves. They're going to need time to themselves too. So just taking your time and doing things that you really like to do and just like detaching from that situation. And then the second thing would be to openly communicate about what is going on and how you're feeling and things that are upsetting or things that are helping, because we get too afraid when it comes to some of these topics. They're too negative. They're too scary. We don't want to admit that someone's going through them. But the fact of the matter is everybody has on some level, or at least everybody knows someone and, you know, wants to be helping and probably wishes they could do more. So the more that we can communicate and like share our stories when appropriate helps the whole, everyone heal. And, you know, maybe we'll get to a point where not so many people are going through this because we can see things a lot clearer.
Mm, yeah, absolutely. Beautiful. Yep. We do need to bring things out in the open. And that's part of the reason that I wanted to start this podcast, just so that I could share my story and share other people's stories and make it so that we don't have to be afraid, like you said, to share what's going on in our life or has gone on in our life and what we've done to get through that and what we've learned in the process. So I'm so glad that you joined us today. I do like to tell our listeners where they can find you in case they'd like to find you. You live, again, in Prescott Valley, Arizona, and then you do come to the western suburbs of Illinois. So where can they find you, Dr. Katie? You know, like social media wise.
Yeah. Oh, yes, yeah. So I am on Facebook. And you can just look my name, Katie Borchardt, and then Instagram. I think looking for my name, Katie Borchardt, will bring me up.
Okay.
And then that's about all I do, social media, and really I'm in the clinic most of the time.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you have a website?
Just through the clinics. I don't have my own personal one.
Okay. Okay. But if they wanted to contact you and perhaps see you, then you would, it's best to just connect with you, like DM you through Facebook or.
That always works. Yep. I know that's less limiting to the location. At least if you wanted the website for the clinic in Arizona, I could give it to you. It's pretty easy.
Yeah. Go ahead and give that to us.
Is it Naturopathic Doctors in Prescott? Let me look it up.
And we can put that in the show notes too, so people have that to find you as well.
Well, I always come back to Stolen Moments in Naperville. I don't think I'm listed on their webpage at all, just because it's pretty generic.
Yeah, and I what I've enjoyed is just being able to connect with you, and then you tell me when you're going to be someplace, what your openings are. So I think that's probably a good way for people to find you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Borchert is spelled B-O-R-C-H-E-R-T. So thanks, Dr. Katie, for joining us. And always nice to chat with you. And thanks for sharing your wisdom about acupuncture and Qigong and, you know, really the importance of self-care so that we can show up better for those that we love.
Yes.
All right. Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
Thanks for listening. Do you feel like your juggling of your chaos is just too much and you want to reclaim your life and health? I'm here to help. I offer free 30-minute consultations where I can show you simple steps to help you get back on track. If you're interested, please connect with me. You can do that simply by reaching out on Instagram and send me a DM at Green Gorski or email me at Moira@GorskiWellness.com. Moira spelled M-O-Y-R-A. I look forward to hearing from you, and take care.